long passage, but it covers a lot of ground. And so we want to just take a look at just a few aspects of this story. It's really a well-known story because if you think about it, a lot of times you'll run into analogies for David and Goliath even outside of church. I mean, I probably first heard about David and Goliath probably underneath the floor somewhere over there where Carolyn Gross was teaching our Sunday school class. We had a youth group that enjoyed, well, sometimes enjoyed listening to the lessons, mostly just enjoyed having fun with each other. But David and Goliath is something we hear about everywhere. I think in the U.S. in particular, we like this little guy takes on the big guy and overcomes in battle. And we see that over and over. In fact, yesterday, 4th of July, we kind of celebrated the little guy taking on the big guy with the United States as the little colonies, taking on Great Britain and winning independence. And so we go home, we look at our TV shows, we look at our movies, and over we see this kind of theme. The little guy takes on the big guy and wins, surprisingly enough. But when we reflect on this story, sometimes we don't picture it for ourselves because we're not necessarily going out into a physical battle. Sometimes we're just facing a task or a challenge, something that's beyond what we think we could handle just in and of ourselves. We're overwhelmed and we might wonder what we should do. The story of David and Goliath kind of teaches us two approaches, and we can operate to face these challenges. First of all, we can take the approach of working in our weaknesses, or we can take the approach of working in God's strength. When we think about working in our weaknesses, it's not David or Goliath we necessarily want to look at. We look at Saul. Saul, yeah, that guy who was the king of Israel. And if you go a few chapters earlier in 1 Samuel, Saul was a grown man. He was impressive. In fact, when you looked over all the Israelites, people said he was without equal. In fact, he was like a head taller than everyone. And so you looked to Saul and you just saw great leader just kind of flashed in your head when you saw him. And he was anointed to be the first king of Israel. And so Saul operated as a king, but as things progress, he's changed from operating in God's strength to operating in his weakness. He was the leader of a nation. He was the leader of the army. Yet he was afraid. He was afraid of this man on the other side. Yeah, he was tall, whether it was 9 foot all the way up to the top, or maybe it was a little shorter than that, but way above Saul's head. And he was afraid. It's funny because the scriptures call him out big time, because it could have just said all the Israelites were afraid, they were terrified. But the scripture actually reads, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Okay, Saul was an Israelite, so he's included in that, but we want to be clear. It wasn't just the Israelite people that were afraid. Saul, the leader of their nation, the leader of their army, the man who towered above everyone in Israel, was afraid. It was more than he could handle, more than he could take. Because working in weakness for Saul meant he had forgotten all that God had done for him in past battles, in past victories that came. Working in weakness for Saul meant he basically did nothing. I mean, when Goliath would come out, the army just kind of sat there. And their leader didn't tell them to progress. Their leader didn't stand up himself and go forward. They just kind of cowered back on the sides. And I can picture it in my head because I've actually been to Israel in the Valley of Elah, and there's this beautiful grassy pasture that was there when I was there. And it's not that impressive of a place. It's just a small hill on one side and a small hill on the other. And I picture the Israelite army on that hill looking down as Goliath came out and gave his challenge every morning and every night. And asked one of them to come fight them. And the Israelite army stayed on that hill and did nothing. Well, we get on Saul's case, we get on the Israelite army case, but how do we work in weakness? Well, sometimes we don't think of it that way. We say, well, it's better for us to work in our strengths. Well, of course it is. And we do have some strengths until we come up with an opponent that is so much greater than our strengths. They're actually no better than our weaknesses. And working in our weaknesses is kind of about not even trying to do something. Maybe it's about taking the easy way instead of doing the right thing. We go along with the crowd maybe because it's the easy thing to do instead of doing the right thing that we know in our hearts and in our minds that we should follow. Even as simple as when I'm driving down the road and I'm thinking, man, I should just go visit somebody because I know it would be just an opportune time. They're in town and it'd be a good chance to get to see them and catch up and maybe give them a word of encouragement. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm kind of busy, and you know, maybe they don't have time to really see me, and I make all these rational excuses that kind of just has me keep driving right on by. Working in my own weakness, not taking the initiative, not doing the things that I know I need to do, even in such a simple example. What's the result of working in our weakness? Well, at best, we only accomplish a little bit. The little bit that's in our control and power to get done. That's what we get from working in weakness. But instead, we can actually work in God's strength. And notice I said God's strength, not our strength. And for that, we look at David. Okay, David, hear a lot about him. But understand, he was a relatively young guy. I mean, probably 15 plus or minus years old in that neighborhood. Now, some of you are thinking, wow, that's pretty grown, and I'm thinking that's pretty young just because I'm getting old. But 15, where you're probably still growing and still developing your muscles, you're not quite old enough for your father to send you off to the army, the military, to fight with your big brothers. David was the shepherd boy. Yep, David, the youngest of the brothers. Yeah, David, go take care of the sheep. I mean, it's something that has to be done, but not big enough and strong enough to fight in the army, not necessarily savvy enough to run the father's business, Jesse's business dealings. And so, yeah, just go out there and take care of the sheep. That's a pretty basic task for the youngest brother. But all that being said, David was kind of special. Because after Saul's disobedience earlier in 1 Samuel, God decided that Israel kind of was ready for a new king. And instead of looking for the big guy, the impressive guy that everyone would look to and see a leader, God looked for someone who sought after him, someone after God's heart. Someone who would work in God's strength and not his own. And so God found David as the next king. A teenage boy who was anointed to be the next king. He wasn't in the job yet. No, Saul was still in that position. But it kind of set the stage to say, there's something special about this boy and his focus on God. Well, David, working in God's strength, did some things right. When he came to the battlefield to see his brothers and see how things were going, it was probably like this curiosity thing. Like, I'm sick of being in the field and taking care of the sheep. I want to see what's going on in the big action, the war, the battle. And he went to visit his brothers. And he saw what was happening with Goliath. And he kind of just immediately just started to look at what needed to be done. But when he did that, he started by remembering what God had done through him in the past. Remembering the past victories that God had given him to protect the sheep, the training ground that David had. And it wasn't just about David being really good with the sling and hitting the bear or hitting the lion. David gave credit to God. Because a bear is a whole lot bigger than a rock. And a lion is a whole lot bigger than a rock. And no matter how good he was, he had to be afraid and frightened, realizing that he didn't have the strength to do this on his own. And so David, when he referred to that time, said, "The Lord rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and the Lord will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." David remembered the past, and he was able to trust God for what would come next. David also got ready to go into battle. Can you imagine this 15-year-old guy taking on the armor of the biggest guy in Israel? Not Goliath, but still a big guy. I mean, he puts on all the breastplate, the helmet, takes the sword, and pretty much can't move. Okay, this isn't going to work, he's probably thinking. But you know what? It wasn't about the armor he put on. In fact, he took it off. But if it was really about the armor, then don't you think Saul would have just put it on and went and fought Goliath? So David took a staff, a sling, and 5 stones. Not exactly what the typical person in the army would go to battle with. But more importantly, David knew that God was with him. David knew that God would direct his steps and his actions, and God would take care of the battle. And so, most importantly, under this prompting of God, David did something. He took action. David went out into the field to face this enemy. I mean, can you picture it? This young guy facing this giant Goliath. Even Goliath thought it was kind of humorous, like, this is your best? This is what you're sending to fight me? Okay, I'm ad-libbing a little. But he went out into battle to face an enemy beyond anything he could have possibly imagined, beyond anything that he reasonably could have thought to take on and win against. And David's words are important at this point because he says, "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." And so shortcutting a whole bunch of the scriptures that we just heard, David conquered with God's strength. And David's perspective on the situation are these words: "The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you, and he will give all of you into our hands, taking down the giant in Goliath is victory over all the Philistines and all of the potential losses in that war." But how do we work in God's strength? I mean, David, he's the one we read about in the Old Testament. He's the coming king. But what do? It's not all that different. Because we need to remember what God has done for us in the past. We need to prepare ourselves according to whatever his plan is that he prompts us to do. And then we actually have to act and do something. I think about when I was younger, I was a kid in youth group, and we went to creation as a youth group, and I remember being challenged by one of the speakers to give an offering. And I remember this kind of quick little debate with God. Anybody ever had those? Like, should I do this? Should I not? And I was like, I only have a few dollars in my pocket, and God wants me to give that money? I mean, I'm in high school, and I'm not with my mom, and I don't have any other money. How am I going to eat on the way back? And I gave the money. I'm like, God, you're going to have to work this out because, you know, I want to eat. And I'll never forget, not only did someone buy me a burger on the way home, but someone bought me an ice cream cone. And it was just like, when I got that ice cream cone, I didn't think about it with the burger, but it was just something about that ice cream cone where I was like hearing almost just this feeling from God saying, I provided your basic needs and gave you ice cream as an extra. When you do things in God's strength, it's so exciting. It can be so terrifying, I realize, but it's so exciting when you see how he comes through and how he provides the basics and even a little extra ice cream. Later on, when I was a young adult, and I was really grasping the concept of tithing, and I made out all my bills for the month, and I was like, you know, I forgot to write my tithe check, and I don't see that there's enough here to actually do that and to still have money to survive the rest of the month. And God reminded me of an ice cream cone. And I was like, you know what, God? I remember what you did in the past. And you know what? You've prepared me for this time to really learn what it means to give to you. And I wrote out my tithe check and prayed and said, God, you're going to have to work out this month. And surprisingly enough, maybe not so surprisingly to God, I had more than enough for whatever came up in that month. And I point back to those circumstances as how God has taught me to do things in his strength. And how that God will use those opportunities in my mind to help me know what to do in the future and to have the courage to take action. Not because I think I can do it, Not because I'm going to take on a Goliath, but because I know that in God's strength, I can. So we're all faced with tasks and challenges in life. Not necessarily the Goliath standing before you, but it may be a Goliath in a different form. It may be something physically, socially. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. So many things, projects at work, loss of job, all these things that face us at different points in our lives. When it's beyond our abilities, we're operating in weakness. And our weakness doesn't go away just because we want to have it go away, just because we try to mask it and hide things. But our weaknesses are overcome with God's strength. God gave these words to Paul about weakness in 1 Corinthians 12:9, where God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul's response to that were these words, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me." In the Old Testament, sometimes it seems a little bit distant as God worked through kings and prophets. But, you know, when we come to the New Testament and we see how Jesus dealt so personally with the people around him, we see how his love and his strength empowered just common, ordinary folks like us to do great things. If you're facing a challenge in your life, or if you're just facing something that's just a complete unknown in your life, be like David. Seek God and work in his strength. God's worked in your past. Sometimes we may not even see it or realize it and reflect back, and maybe the only time we get to see that. But you can trust him. And he'll give you the courage to take action. So God, I thank you that you're there for us. Thank you that we don't have to rely on what little strength we can muster. Thank you that we don't have to be incapacitated by our weaknesses. Thank you, God, that you're there for us to trust in, to rely upon, and that you can overcome all things, all tasks, all challenges, all giants that we face through your strength that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.